Well, it's my great pleasure to have our associate pastor bring a great word this morning. Her name is Pastor Emma Wilkinson. Can we give her a hand as she comes this morning? Such a great lady. God bless you, Emma.
Good morning, church. Good morning, good morning. Well, Connect Sunday, I love this time of year where we have Connect Sunday and feed you afterwards with lots of delicious food. It's a really, really great time to be in church. And our heart, the pastor's, our heart and our desire and our prayer is that every single person is in Connect. And I'm going to talk more about why that is so important and why it's such a desire in our heart that we have for everybody being in Connect. I love Connect. I love Connect. It's a place where people encourage one another. It's a place where we pray for each other. It's a place where we can have really good discussions and debates about the Word of God and things in our life. And it's a place where we develop really strong friendships. And I want to talk to you today about friendships and how important friendship is to Connect, but also to God and to Jesus. Let's pray, hey? Father God, I thank you that by your Spirit, you know, Lord, you know every single detail of every single person in this room today. And Father God, I thank you that you have something for each person that you want to speak to about. Lord, let us all hear your word today and receive your word. Father God, as you speak to us through your word, that we would respond to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know, I've been reading through the book of Proverbs, and the Proverbs is all about wisdom and understanding, and there's lots of scriptures about friendship in the book of Proverbs. It's really wise to have good friends. Good friends, and to choose good friends. Very, very wise. So Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." I have a really good friend here today. Her name's Louise. I invited her today because we have been friends for probably, I think, close to 20 years, perhaps, a very, very long time. We met through a mutual friend, and she has stuck to me as a friend, like a brother or like a sister, like a you know, that closest family relationship that you can have. She's stuck closer than that. And when Richard and I moved to Canberra with a three-month-old baby, completely away from family and friends, we were very isolated, had no connections whatsoever. And it was Louise who actually maintained contact with me through those early months and years where we were establishing relationships and connections with our local church in Canberra. It was interesting when I was thinking about that time and how those first few months I was very, very sick. I was constantly sick. And, I've talked to you about how loneliness and isolation can actually breed poor health. Well, now that I think about it, I think that's because of my lack of connections, lack of friendship. I was in a place of isolation for a few months, establishing and reaching out, but still at the same time, it takes time to do that. So Louise and I have been friends for a very long time. We've gone through lots of adversity. We've journeyed through relationship changes. We've journeyed through having children. And along the way, we've had a lot of fun as well. We have lots of dates with our kids, and you know, when you're with a really good friend, with a best friend, you can get chatting and forget where the kids are, what they might be doing. We know they're playing somewhere nicely, but you know, there was one occasion where we're thinking maybe we should go check on our kids. What do you think they might be doing? It's a little bit quiet. And so we walk into our kids' bedrooms, and there is her children, her sons, my children, my daughters. And Samantha has completely cut all of her hair off, back, front, everything. Okay, that's fine. We've had lots of moments like that. You know, when Logan was born and you know, we'd be having lunch together, they always got up to mischief. I've had Logan and Louise's son Dan putting rocks down, drains, blocking drains up. In about 30 seconds, they completely drew all over our study wall. They've done incredible things, haven't they? But it's been a lot of fun, and Louise has really stuck to me as a really, really good friend and has been there for me in lots of situations and circumstances. And last year, you know, last year was a very interesting year, and that was a real test of our friendship with the busyness of work and the pressures of family and demands. It was a real test of our friendship. And we had to really decide, you know what, our friendship is worth more. And so we've made that a commitment to continue that friendship and to really be intentional about keeping that up. So friends stick closer than a brother. A true friend will stick closer than a brother. A true friend loves at all times, through good and bad, through success and failure. Friends are unique. Friends are irreplaceable. Fools perish for a lack of friends or poorly chosen friends, and it's community that shape us. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 10, it says, two are better than one, for they help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There is strength with friendship. There is success in friendship. When I was reading this verse in how that three people together, three friends, and that three braided cord, that's really, really strong. You might think, oh, I'm thinking religiously or of the, you know, Trinity, Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus. No. When I read this verse, the immediate thing that came to my mind was Sandy, Roy and Greg, wherever they are today. These men, these three great friends, they are unbreakable and they are inseparable. We've had lots of conversations about Connect. How can we grow our men's Connect? Can we maybe have Roy do a new one or Greg do a different one? No. They will stay together. Cannot argue about that. But you see the strength in their friendship, a very, very long friendship that they have all had, how important that is. Friends are necessary, but how do you make true friends? How do you make true friends? When Richard and I returned back to Perth, we came to C3 Fremantle. We've been here for, I think, 12 years now. And, you know, Richard was in Men's Connect for a little while and I think I tried to do a Women's Connect, but I had very small children, so it was difficult. And so we eventually started a Family Connect. Let me tell you, this Family Connect that we had was one of the most impacting times of our life, those years that we had in our Family Connect. It was so, so good, so, so much fun. Claire's laughing, she was in our Connect. And so I want to talk to you about a time that we, you know, we're talking about feast today, when we were going to celebrate the Passover feast as a Connect. So celebrating the Old Testament Passover around Easter time and just understanding a little bit more about the Old Testament and the Word of God and Scripture, what Easter means, those sorts of things. So Richard was the leader. His job was to delegate all the different tasks to people. I got the job of cleaning the house. Yay for me. We were the hosts. Richard cooked this beautiful, succulent lamb. It was, oh my gosh, I remember licking that bowl clean. It was so delicious. And so there was a list of things, a list of different foods that each person Richard asked to bring and delegated out, horseradish, bitter herbs, an egg, bits and pieces like that. And so we come to Connect and let me tell you, first of all, okay, when you're hosting a Connect with small children, that half an hour window before people arrive is where everything just goes really strange, okay? So it doesn't matter how organised you are, how many times you have cleaned the floor, cleaned the kitchen, made everything beautiful, that half hour beforehand, that is a time where, you know, you'll have an argument with your husband. for whatever reason, I don't know, but it seems to happen a lot, Richard will come and spread these great big dirty footprints through the house. It's happened quite a lot. I think it's Connect, maybe, I don't know, but it's happened a lot. You know, with small children, that half an hour before, that's the time where my children will wee on the floor just before Connect. No other time. Too much information. Not anymore. No, not anymore, not anymore. We do have. Yeah, thankfully, our children are older that we don't toilet. You know, they're fine now. They've accomplished that. But I have toilet trained our bunny. He was toilet trained a few weeks ago, and let me tell you, he was the easiest out of everyone. First time he got it. That's good. So here we are. We've fixed everything up. People are arriving. I missed the memo about getting dressed up. Some of the people came dressed up in their tea towels and Israelite things. But Claire comes in with this pot with a lid on it, really, really carefully. I'm like, Claire, what have you got? You know, that looks really like something is in there and something very interesting and looks very fragile. You're carrying it very carefully. And she says, it's the water. It's the salted water. So Richard had the list of all the different things. The last one was the salted water. Claire got the salted water. I don't know why, Richard, you didn't think, but, you know, she had to nurse that in the car on the way to our house. We could have just boiled the kettle and done it for you. Anyway. Yeah. So a Passover meal, Richard's very thorough. Very thorough in going through all the scriptures. Now, what we didn't realise was there are a lot of scriptures that you have to read through. And the kids got really involved. We had kids who were into acting and they would read out these very long scriptures. And after each reading, you would have to drink a glass of wine. So just to educate all of you here, if you do this at your Connect, just have a sip of wine, because by the end of it, I went to bed. But there's at least four glasses of wine. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun. There was at least 10 adults there, 10 kids. We mucked in. It was great. We learned so much about the Word of God. Everybody was involved. It was such a fun time, which is what Connect is. It's a fun time to be around people and friends. So what is the difference between having friends and being a friend of Jesus? When people gather together with that common belief and understanding that they are children of God, that we have the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God is there. We see at Pentecost how the Holy Spirit came upon those believers after Jesus had ascended, and the power of God is amongst the friendships of believers. And so we have seen that in not only our Connect but in many other Connects. I get some water, Steve. Where we've had cancer healed through people praying at Connect. We have had people who were pretty much diagnosed with sicknesses that should have lasted a long time. They've been healed miraculously after a few weeks. We've seen people come out of depression. We've seen people come out of anxiety. We've seen people come out of addictions. Prayer, the power of God that is amongst fellow believers, is the difference between just, you know, going to a club or going to a night out with people. The power of God, the presence of God amongst believers, is the difference between that and Connect. I want to draw your attention to the Connect cards that you have on your seat. So you have a couple of things. One is all the different Connect groups that we have. which you can have a look at. And the other one is this Connect card. So I just want to take you through this because at the end I want you to fill this out, and I just want to explain a little bit about what this is for. So this is for everybody to fill in. If you are in a Connect, love you to fill it in. Just let me know whose Connect group you are in. If you are not in a Connect, you can have a look at the brochure, and if you're not sure, ask me about the different Connect groups. We have lots of different groups. And just write down the one that you think might suit you the most. If you want to host a Connect group, if you love having people over to your home and just being welcoming and hospitable, just providing a place, that is what hosting is about. So if you'd love to do that, tick the box. If you want to be a Connect group leader, that is someone who facilitates a Connect group, please tick that box. And, you know, we have lots of leaders who have been leaders for many, many years, and we have lots of wisdom and experiences that we can draw off of them. But also, too, it's really easy to start a Connect group. All you need is two people to start praying together, to start thinking about who could be in our Connect. It's very, very easy to start a Connect. So if that's something that you would like to do, please tick that box as well. And if you're interested in a new Connect group, that is a brand new Connect group, tick that box. Okay, does that make sense to everyone? Great. Okay, so we'll leave that now. We'll come back to that later in the morning. Okay, so Connect is not just a weekly or fortnightly or, you know, monthly gathering. It really is a time for true friendships to develop. Proverbs 27:17 is, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Of his friend. When we are around friends on a regular basis with people we may or may not usually gravitate towards, we cause each other to be better people. This verse is talking about a sword or a knife that was made out of iron and is sharpened by iron. And the countenance is relating to our mind and our spirit. So you can imagine iron sharpening iron, making that sword or knife really, really effective. The same is with us. When we are around other people on a regular basis, sharing our understanding, sharing our wisdom with each other, we make each other better, we sharpen each other. We become better people. And likewise, if you have a blunt knife just by itself, it's very ineffective, very isolated. So it's through good friends, good conversations that we sharpen one another's mind and spirit. We inspire one another to team, and we have a hunger for understanding the Word of God. We stir up our gifts, and we love as Jesus loves us. So choosing, building, and keeping good friendships makes us better people, produces wisdom, improves our character. Now, whilst I am not in a Connect group with Pastor Nigel, I work with him, and there's lots of conversations. And I made a confession to Barry a little while ago. I said, Barry, I think I need to not argue with Nigel quite so much. Not be quite so difficult. There are many things that we disagree with, and, you know, there's a sharpening of iron that happens where I'm learning patience, I'm learning submission, not to be so stubborn, right? Iron sharpens iron. And it's been very apparent in our Connect as well, where, you know, there'll be people in our Connect group that know different parts of the Bible better than I do, and they will share about that. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And the same will happen vice versa. I will share things as well that they don't know. Oh, I didn't know that. So we learn from each other. We learn from experiences that we have gone through and studying the Word of God. Proverbs 27:9, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Genuine friends who give wise counsel by speaking the truth in love are sweet and pleasant words, and they can be received with great rejoicing and delight, just like the counsel the Word of God gives. My favourite part of our Family Connect was the prayer chair. In our connect, after we had discussed the Word of God, we talked about, you know, what was going on in our lives, towards the end, we would have a prayer chair. And so put the prayer chair in the middle of the room, who needs prayer? And those were really, really profound times where sometimes we'd put our kids there, we need to pray for you. Oh, but, you know, often it was us or even us standing in the place of our kids. And, you know, those people who felt led would prophesy, would speak words of encouragement into our lives. It was a really special and precious moment. Again, power of God transforming people's hearts and minds and lives. And when prayers were not answered immediately, we would stand and walk and continue to pray. We would stand and walk and continue to walk alongside our friends and pray for them week in, week out. So while our friendships with one another add health, fun, laughter, success, goodness to our lives, having a friendship and relating to God through prayer added so much more, so much more. Breakthroughs for impossible situations. We saw jobs offered in times of economic downturn. We saw Claire and David move into their own home against many, many odds. Many, many odds. Many, many odds. So, I want to move on to one of the most, intimate things that you can do with friends, and that is eating. Eating, eat with me. You know, Jesus built friendships through food. He was always eating and drinking with people. In fact, the Pharisees, and I love how, you know, the Pharisees who were the religious people of the day who were always trying to trick Jesus with tricking him into, you know, breaking the law and things like that, with Jesus did not tolerate at all. But I love how the Pharisees still were trying to trick him. In Luke 5:33, one day some people said to Jesus, "John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly. We're so religious. We fast and we pray regularly. We're the real Christians, you know." This is what they're saying. And so did the disciples of the Pharisees. "Why are your disciples," these are Jesus' friends, "always eating and drinking?" It's because a shared meal represents friendship, community. It's intimate. Hospitality, grace. Jesus was never afraid of walking amongst those people who were the most despised, the marginalised. You know, this scripture is talking about a dinner that a man called Levi invited Jesus to his home, and Levi invited all these tax collectors. It was a large crowd, a large meal that they invited Jesus to, and Jesus went. Jesus always ate with the ordinary, the outcasts. In fact, the only people that wouldn't eat with Jesus were the Pharisees. Interesting, isn't it? I'm sure Jesus would have been willing had they been willing. So a shared meal creates intimate moments, connection, conversation, laughter, and community. It's very, very important. I want to finish this morning with talking about the last meal that Jesus had. The last meal that Jesus had. Before he was crucified, Jesus shared a meal with his closest friends, 12 friends. In his 33 years of life, you know, he healed many, he set many people free. He travelled around 5,000 kilometres just in his 3 years of ministry. That's over 65 million steps. Can you imagine that on your Fitbit? Over 65 million steps. He walked a lot. But out of all the thousands of people that Jesus interacted with, that Jesus impacted, he had 12 close friends. Now, one of them, Judas, he never really gave his heart to Jesus. He followed Jesus, but he never gave his heart. But he was there. He was one of the 12. And these 12 friends that Jesus chose these friendships. They were ordinary people from rural areas, farmers, fishermen, unrefined, uneducated. He didn't choose elite, prestigious people. He chose the ordinary people to be his friends. James, Judas, Jude, Simon, Bartholomew, Thomas, Philip, Matthew, John, Peter, Andrew. If you were going to have your last meal, who would you want to eat with? Jesus ate with his closest friends. I'm just going to get the worship team to come up. Luke 22:8-13. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. And that is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared a Passover meal there. So can you imagine they're going up to this room that is prepared, probably not too dissimilar to the Passover meal that we had with our Connect, the wine, the different foods, celebrating Passover. And can you imagine the grief that Jesus may have been feeling at that time? He knew what he had to do. He knew that he had to face death. And so he wanted to spend these last moments with his friends, his dearest and closest friends, and say this in John 15:12-15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." And we see here the disciples didn't really understand what Jesus was going to have to do. They didn't really understand the depth of these words that he was speaking to them. But what I want you to hear today is that Jesus chose you. Jesus calls you his friend. Jesus came to serve you, to show that he loves you. He came that he would share everything about his Father. It's not like a servant-master relationship. It's not a relationship where, say, a master will just only tell the information that the servant needs to know. It's not like that at all. It's a true friendship. It's a friendship where Jesus reveals everything about who he is. He reveals everything about Father God. He reveals all the things about the kingdom to you as his friend. And so our friendships with one another, our friendships with Jesus, are the most important friendships that we have. And creating, keeping, building true friendships with each other, that's how we love each other. Walking with 10, 12 close friends in Connect. If everyone can just close their eyes just for a moment. I just want to pray. I just want to pray over people today. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came, God, to serve us, to show the love, to lay down his life for us. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who calls us friends. Right now, with every eye closed, just allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and to speak to you about the friendship that you have with Jesus. How close are you to him today? How well do you know him today? Think about your relationship with Jesus. Do I need to walk closer with him? In my connect, am I being a true friend? If I am not in a connect group, Lord, help me to be involved. Help me to connect. Father, I pray for your blessing over each person here today. Father, we ask that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, God, we would all have a great friendship with your Son, Jesus. Father God, that we would walk closer with your Son, Jesus. God, that we would know your intimate love so much more. Father God, that we would be able to be true friends with each other, just as Jesus is with us. So bless your people today, I pray. Bless your people today, I pray. Amen.